Hey everyone, this is John.
This is Marius.
And this is Ryan.
And this is the Nintendo Show, the best damn Nintendo podcast on the internet. This is not the retro show. There's a Nintendo Direct, fellas.
LARP.
Yeah, which we're gonna get to in a second. But
we sound like hostages. We're excited. We're actually excited.
Except instead of making the video, I made you watch the video.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like the chains that were on us are a little unnecessary, but you know,
John was so pumped that we came in with such a lack of energy on that one.
Yes, Direct.
That's great.
They showed us a bunch of commercials and stuff. Mm-hmm. But you know,
that's a very good point. It's just a collection of commercials,
right? I mean, it's now that E3 is dead, we all know it's dead. Yeah. Like, they're gonna try to drag out its rotting corpse this year, but neither Sony, Microsoft, or Nintendo are attending the E3 show. E3 is dead.
I wonder how it's gonna smell.
So is it like a PC game showcase then, essentially? Or
yeah, I think Wizards of the Coast will be there. it'll be Apple and Android, whoever's dumping shit onto those platforms.
I told you that was my thing. I told you that one year they should just say no more video games. It's tabletop. Mm-hmm. Tabletop exclusive.
Yep.
Sorry. Yeah, way to go. And then I was trying to do it quietly and covertly.
There'll be like card-based games the next year. We'll get some Yu-Gi-Oh! And Magic the Gathering and the Pokemon trading card game.
Oh, God.
Well, it doesn't have to be just card games. It can be like board games too, you know.
I'm saying that you wrote it down. They're like, oh, maybe one year is like, hey, no video game, no games of any kind at all. We're just doing comic
books. Just going to show new houses.
We're just going to open up our Zillow account and show you guys the funny ones we found.
That would be fascinating.
No, but before we get to the fun stuff, what we decided to do was to talk about the Nintendo financials, which they released their most recent ones just the other day. This is for the third quarter of their fiscal year. The regular fiscal year for Nintendo ends, I believe, at the end of March. So this is numbers for the third quarter and also numbers from about April of 2022 up until December of 2022.
Turns out all of John's favorite games sold terribly.
It's not true. It's not true at all.
Just most of them.
Yes. First off, Nintendo made some money. They made quite a bit of money.
Oh, that's not surprising.
Maybe not as much as they thought. I believe their the total revenue was down year over year, I believe about 20%, which, you know, that's not great, but you still turned a profit. Operating income was also down. Ordinary income was a little down. Total game sales were also down year over year compared to fiscal year for 2021. One thing that was a bit surprising was digital sales account for half of all game sales on the Switch now, which is the highest that's ever been. It didn't really break down with that means half of all Smash Brothers sales are digital, or it's just they're selling an equal amount of digital as well as physical sales across all platforms. So River City Girls obviously is close to 100% digital sales, because I don't know if River City Girls 2 has gotten a physical release yet. But that's kind of how that all broke down. A total of 8.22 million Switch consoles were shipped for the quarter, bringing the total of Switches sold to 122.55 million, making it the third best-selling console or video game system of all time. It is still behind the Game Boy, which I believe is about 150 million, and the PS2, which is close to 160 million.
Not bad.
Yeah. You guys think it gets there?
Probably not.
So, yeah, in order to get...
If they're selling 8 million this year, next year they're going to sell even less.
That's
I don't think that they got the juice to get across that finish line.
That's through the... That was just for the quarter.
Those 8 million in the quarter?
Yeah.
Ooh.
They lowered their expectations. They thought they were going to sell about 20 million Switches through the fiscal year. They lowered their expectations to 18 million. And, you know, if things are dropping off, if you're selling maybe 15 million in 23, and if there's a successor or not, maybe you're doing the same in 24. So the system, I could imagine, have another 30 million in it, mm-hmm. which would get them real close. But I don't know.
It is feasible.
Mm-hmm.
It is feasible that they could. And I hope that they manufacture plus one. I hope that it's whatever the PS2 plus one, just to get it out there. Discount it 90% if you need to.
Like, and Miyamoto was the last guy in line to buy the last Switch. Like, yeah, we made it. We got over the finish line.
I can't think of a good athlete to use as a comparison, but it's like when an athlete like stays around 2 years longer than they should because there's some career like record that they want to hit, and then they hit that, and the next day they retire. Yeah, like, all that mattered was beating this.
Wasn't that a movie with Bernie Mac? It was called Mr. 3000 or something like that. He was like this baseball player, this old washed up baseball player. I imagine this movie did not do well. We'll get to it on the retro show one day.
Listener, John has watched every movie tangentially about baseball.
Yeah, every baseball movie. He's seen them all. And this wasn't particularly good, but he's a guy, he's a baseball player, a really selfish professional hitter. He got his 3000th hit and retired, and the sort of crux of the movie was like, oh no, actually two of those hits didn't count. I can't remember why, but they took him away from him. So he unretired just to get his last two hits, and drags the team down because he's really awful because he's an old guy now. He can't get the hits and learns to be a better teammate, becomes a better person.
And then that's hard to believe because Bernie Mac is already a near flawless human being.
It's true.
So,
did he die?
Is he dead? I don't know.
I think he might have been. Wes, do some fact checking. Is Bernie Mac still alive? I think he might have died. Or I might be thinking of Cedric the Entertainer.
I don't know.
I think Cedric the Entertainer is also dead if Bernie Mac is not also dead.
Oh, wow. This is a...
Yeah, this took a turn. This took a dark turn. This is sad. Huh. Wes, don't give me the bad news.
And, you know, Burt Bacharach just passed away, too.
That's did he really?
Yeah, 94. Mm-hmm. It's a good run.
Yeah, he did. Back in 2008.
Yeah. Bernie Mac passed
away. Mr. 3000 is what did him in.
Yeah, maybe. Cedric the Entertainer, how about him? Is he still alive?
He's still alive, I'm sure.
Okay.
I think he's taking doing a report. Bad...
Wes just had lunch with him the other day. I'm sure he's fine.
Okay, so we did get some updated software sales numbers. Nintendo only had two games that they published in the quarter, October to December, and it was Bayonetta 3 and Pokemon Scarlet and Violet. Wes, do you want to take a guess at how many copies Bayonetta 3 sold?
I mean, Cedric's alive.
Oh, okay. Thank God.
So don't worry about him. He's good. Bayonetta 3, how many copies?
Yeah, how many copies did it sell?
12. I have no idea.
It sold 12. You're a little off. It sold a million. So not bad. I mean, especially for a game series, and we'll get into it when we rank them. It moved like 200,000.
And there's a game that was announced that looks very interesting.
That was actually announced at the previous Direct back in September.
Still, this is the first time I've seen gameplay of it.
Yeah, that one looks really cool, too. We'll get to that.
Spoilers ahead for what we're going
to
talk about.
They did manage to push this game over a million, which may be, question mark, the first time a game of the series has sold over a million. So, hey, not bad.
I still want to play all three. I haven't done any.
They're good.
I would like to.
You can get them all on Switch.
Yep. I'm sure I will one day.
Pokemon Scarlet and Violet sold a few more than that.
Mm-hmm. Just a few.
Wes, have you looked at the numbers? Have you either guys looked at the numbers?
I was about to say, why are you singling me out here? I mean, Ryan's here too.
Guys, see, he's a number crunching accountant. I'm sure he's...
I did not look these numbers up at all. Oh. And I would have guessed way over on Bayonetta. I would have said I was going to guess closer to 2 to 2.5.
No, not for that series.
Yeah, that's what I know.
Not for that piece of shit.
All right, how about Scarlet Violet? It's about 6 weeks. 6 weeks of reporting from release date to December 31st.
I mean, I need something to compare it by. Like, what has another Pokemon sold?
Combined, I guess 15 million.
Okay.
I was going to go 17.
It's 20. 20 million copies in 6 weeks for this broken-ass janky game.
It is not.
I kid out of love. It sits fine.
Yes. Sure.
See, it's funny that they, it just shows you that they don't need to put as much effort in as they do, and they'll still do fine.
Well, the best-selling, I would assume, is somewhere around 30 million, and I'm guessing it's like a Mario Kart. Or like a Smash or something.
Oh, for the year?
For the quarter? Overall for the Switch.
I think Mario Kart is the one that sold the best.
Yeah, just like what is the top selling Switch title, you know?
It's either Mario Kart or Smash.
Well, Pokemon was the top selling game for the quarter, for sure. During the quarter, Mario Kart moves another 3.5 million, and it broke the 50 million mark. So now 52 million for Mario Kart 8 Deluxe. Super impressive. Animal Crossing moved another 1.5 million in the quarter, brings it over 40 million copies for that game. Smash Brothers also broke 30 million lifetime sales. Breath of the Wild is at 29 million, real close to that 30 million mark.
It can do it, I believe.
Sword Shield is now above 25 million. So there's your comparison right there.
That's a good game. Yeah, I actually do prefer that over Violet, I think.
Okay. That's totally...
I just like the structure. I like the structure.
Mm-hmm. Mario Odyssey got above 25 million. Super Mario Party, just shy of 19 million. Ring from Adventure, over 15 million. Pokemon Let's Go is the final of the top 10 for the quarter. And that got pushed over 15 million. Brilliant Diamond Shining Pearl fell out of the top 10 for the quarter. No. But there is that other Pokemon game that replaced it. So yeah, I mean that's those are the big numbers out of this particular financial report. They made quite a bit of money. Their net profit was about $2.6 billion with a B.
It's nice work if you can get it.
Yep. The net profit. I think I mentioned like operating income or something down like 20%. Net profit was down about 6% year over year.
How much does it cost to make a game?
Depends on the game.
So, like, for instance, Pokemon, in order to make the game, to make the physical copies, ship the copies, like, how much is it costing to get it available for people to buy?
I don't know that we've ever had reasable numbers.
Yeah. So the I didn't expect us to, but I'm just curious.
I think a general rule of thumb, unless they do release that sort of information out, because we do, like, budgets for movies. I don't know if we have that information available for games. General rule of thumb for me is probably less than they would claim, but a bit more than we would think. Because there are, of course, video game developers and publishers now that cry poor when their $60 game only sells 8 million copies, which is a load of crap. So...
Yeah, again, I can't find a good... Someone out here is saying that it's a budget of $20 million to create it, and that there were 500 employees directly associated with the production of the game.
Of Pokemon?
Yes. Mm. Scarlet and Violet.
Yeah, and it depends on like the scope of the game. Like larger games are, of course, going to take longer and cost more money. Just
it would be interesting to know that, like how we do with movies. Mm-hmm. Like, how much does it cost to make opposed to what they sell? So what is their profit on that game?
Mm. Like, I would venture a guess that... a game like Bayonetta probably doesn't cost as much to make as Pokemon, even though it takes longer and has better performance. It's also a game that's smaller in scope and probably had fewer people working on it. Hmm. So,
$12.
It costs $12 to make. One other thing before we get into the Nintendo Direct, despite profits being down 6% year over year, Nintendo decided to raise everyone's pay that works at Nintendo Japan by 10%.
Oh.
Yeah.
A bunch of sweethearts.
Yeah, how about that?
Good for them.
It's probably due to a lot of cost of living raise. Japan, the country, is not immune to inflation, as none of us have been over the past couple of years. So, deciding to, even though it didn't make as much money, spread the wealth around, give some people some more money, which is good. So, should we move over to the Direct, fellas?
Let's do it.
Mm-hmm. Cool. I have my notes here. Is there anything you guys want to start with? Do you just want to move through point by point here?
I think we'll just go in order.
Yeah, for the sake of ease of watching this along with the video, let's probably just go with
the order. You watched this already. You're just rewatching it, right?
Kind of refresh my memory.
I'm going to look over your shoulder, aka rest my head on your shoulder.
I watched it three times. You guys, Pikmin 4, here it is, out July 21st, sooner than I would have expected. We just learned about this game in September. It won't have been a calendar year by the time it releases, which is really cool. I was actually re-listening to our show when we talked about the September Direct. And if you guys remember, this game was revealed when Miyamoto came onto the screen, talked a bit about the Mario movie, talked a lot about Pokemon Bloom, and then just said Pikmin 4 and showed like a screenshot and a logo. So it feels like this would have been a better reveal if they had just not done that in September and just done this now. But anyway,
maybe because you're getting Pikmin 4.
Maybe it's because they're leading in with something and people are like, the fuck is Pikmin?
Maybe.
You know?
Maybe. Got like 50 million people watching. Maybe 100,000 know what Pikmin are.
Yeah, I mean, I was a little disappointed that this is what they're leading in with, But I get it. They want it to be a thing.
They never lead with, like, their highest profile thing. They always lead
with... But they should lead with something that looks entertaining.
I'm being mean. Sorry. So, you were, like, clutching your pearls when I said Pokemon was a janky-ass broken game.
I was. Barely kick those things around the neck.
It's a really nice looking game. I really dig the visual style. The red, blue, and yellow standard Pikmin are back. There's also a light blue ice type Pikmin. Something that I was noticing is when they were showing the ice Pikmin out in the field, you never saw the blue ones out there with them. So I'm wondering if this is maybe like a situation where you have an opportunity to make your water Pikmin into ice Pikmin for a period of time or for the duration of a cycle until you decide to change them back, that sort of thing. We will see, and by that I mean I will see when I play the game.
Yeah, I've never played a single Pikmin game.
There's an odd looking dog duck thing that does things for you, does some of your heavy lifting, which, okay. They're adding new ways with the dog and the ice Pikmin to interact with like the puzzles and all the destructible things in the world. It's good. It's good that they're adding new things in the game.
This dog only has two legs.
Yeah. It's weird.
This guy's weird. Did they find the dog on this planet? Is this supposed to be Earth?
Yes.
Maybe this is like this radiated post-apocalypse. Like everything around it looks like it's been, decaying in ruin, kind of.
Yeah, they've never like gotten into the lore of why it is that there's no other people on this planet. Because it is presumably Earth. It is an Earth-like planet filled with Earth objects. So unless we're like in some sort of parallel universe, we can presume that they're supposed to be on a post-apocalyptic Earth. Hey, they've never gotten into why.
Maybe no matter where the civilization is in the universe, they all want swing sets.
Maybe. And yeah, binoculars.
Swing sets are just a thing.
Just universal.
So it seems like the premise of the game, so in Pikmin 1, you're trying to rebuild your ship and get the fuck out of there. In Pikmin 2, you're just there, like, gathering materials to take back to your planet and sell them off. Pikmin 3, you are also trying to rebuild your ship as well as rescue a couple of people who are there. And it seems like the rescue operation is going to be the premise for this one. There are going to be other astronauts.
Did Olimar go missing again and you gotta go find the guy?
Olimar might have gone missing again, but we'll see. So you're like going into these caves and finding them and rescuing them, which, I don't know if like they then become playable. Is how it worked in Pikmin 3. You rescued these other commanders and then allowed you to swap between them, so you'd have multiple people commanding the Pikmin out at the same time, which was really great for multitasking. And for me, that was the fun part of the game. Like, let's have this squad go out there doing this thing, quick swap to that one over there and have them do this other thing. And just kind of try to get as much done within one cycle as I could. So it might not be as time sensitive. They still did show like a day-night cycle, but it might not be like you have a certain amount of days or resources before you're going to reach the end of this thing. I also think they ended with a night scene because all the creatures get really feral at night, so they showed a bit of that, so possibly, maybe, going out at night and dealing with the more powerful stuff. We'll see.
They're embracing the mechanics of, like, a survival horror game. Mm.
That'd be cool.
Yeah.
So, up next, we got some Xenoblade Chronicles 3 expansion. That's out February 15th. New hero. They showed new battle challenges where you start with like a character and then when you win you get to add more characters or skills.
It reminded me, I don't know why, but it felt like Breath of the Wild when they introduced that weird mode where you start with nothing and then you get more stuff
as the Eventide Island thing.
Was it Eventide Island?
But yeah, that's where you get all your stuff taken away in Breath of the Wild and have to like go.
Oh, okay.
What do you think about this name? Lepidus Tamasha.
Perfect.
I don't know what Lepidus
is.
Lepidus sounds like a name for like a criminal act that one engages in. Like, oh, that's a Lepidus over there. Don't let him around.
See, now I gotta Google again.
You turn on safe search.
Lepidus Tamasha.
The Volume 4 update looks like it's going to be like when they do a more substantial content dump. It looks like Shulk might be in that version. Maybe some new areas to explore. But
oh, okay. A person whose business is to cut, polish, set, or deal in gemstones.
Okay. Which
makes sense, because that's what she does. She makes items and shit for you.
Well, I won't be engaging in any of this content until the bulk of it comes out. Wes, are you going to jump on any of the Xenoblade stuff?
No, I still need to go back and actually beat the game.
10-4. You guys going to play Samba de Amigo?
No.
It's coming out this summer.
Good for it.
Let's move on then. How about Fashion Dreamer? That's coming out sometime this year.
That's a game.
Moving on then. Dead Cells Return to Castlevania is out on March the 6th. I think we already knew about this. It's really nice looking. Really good pixel art.
Looks pretty cool.
Some really good references to Castlevania. It's a shame that these are all like procedurally generated areas and not like bespoke level designs, because otherwise it looks like a really cool Castlevania game.
Does that really trouble you about it? I never played the original Dead Cells, so I should probably start with that before I get into the Castlevania one.
But I got my teeth kicked in. I just sucked at this game. I just couldn't get going in it.
Mm-hmm. Looks very cool though.
Just like any of these roguelike games that they require you to complete some rounds to build up momentum, but I never could complete a round or anything like that. And so it's just, I always felt like I was starting like I was first time starting the game. I was like, I can't seem Hades, to, right? I couldn't feel any, I did.
Mm-hmm.
But Hades was a little bit more generous because you're getting resources and upgrading stuff as you go. So you're having more success the more runs you do. Or Dead Cells, I just couldn't really get any ground in it. It just...
couldn't get any of that momentum going?
No, I could not. So I gave up on the game.
That's understandable. It's
turns out I just suck at that game, so yeah.
You're good at other things, though.
Sure.
Looking up words on your phone?
Yeah, I can do that.
Yeah.
The Pinterest. I really like that word.
Telling us whether or not Bernie Mac is dead.
Yep.
May he rest in peace.
Yep.
Tron Identity is out in April. Moving on?
Yep.
I recently rewatched Tron Legacy.
Yeah? What'd you think?
Good movie.
Yeah?
Good. Yeah, I do like that.
Weren't they trying to set it up as like a franchise? Were they trying to like set up a sequel? Because I remember like Cillian Murphy was in that movie for some reason right at the beginning.
And he was like that whatever, what was this, maybe like 12 years ago when this came out or whatever?
Sounds about right.
He was in like every fucking movie. You couldn't escape the guy. Great, it was great. Like if there's any one guy to just be in every movie all the time.
Who is he on Bad with Names?
He was, you probably recognize him as like the Scarecrow from one of the Batman movies.
Okay.
He was in Inception. He was like the businessman.
28 Days Later.
28 Days Later, yeah. Kinky Boots, did you see that one?
I like that actor. He's good.
Ghost Trick Phantom Detective is out this summer. That's kind of a neat port. It's like a cult, got a cult following DS game, kind of like a detective visual novel-y kind of game. Deca Police is out sometime this year. Guys, Level 5 is making a game.
Yeah, this looks pretty good.
Yeah, this looks oddly interesting. Like, I'm not, like, getting high hopes for it.
I'm not either, but...
But I'm intrigued.
I'm actually pretty interested in this game. This looks pretty good.
You saw a lot of nice anime cutscenes.
Mm-hmm.
Saw not too much gameplay, but I'm assuming it has like some turn-taking RPG battles from what they showed really briefly.
I feel like this is like a... No, this isn't a great analogy. This isn't going to work. But
it's got to be better than your baby-carrying analogy.
I think... Where did baby have to come with it? I didn't say anything with babies.
Anyway, moving on. I'm gonna play the
tape. It's like that.
Roll the tape back.
It's like that Ace Attorney game, except this has like turn-taking combat as well. Mm. So it's you're playing a detective trying to like solve the whatever, and then you go and fight shit.
I mean, I see a lot of like what looks like team tactics. I don't see much in the way of double jumps.
I did not notice a double jump either.
So I don't know what kind of. I mean, there's a.
They still got time.
Yeah.
It's only slated for this year. If they have to delay till next year to get a double jump, I think it's worth it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, this might be a sneaky fun RPG. This one's on my radar.
Yeah, same here.
Bayonetta Origins is out March 17th. We got some actual gameplay info. I'm pretty excited for this one.
This also looks really good. This looks fun.
I like the idea of having controlling one character that's doing like your disables and like control the other characters that's actually dishing out the damage.
It brings back fond memories of Astral Chain.
Mm-hmm.
You send your dude out to like do the combat.
That's what I thought of too. And trying to like try to work both sides of the brain to keep both characters moving at the same time.
Yeah.
Some of the gameplay actually reminds me a little bit of Hob. We don't know like how like big or open these areas are going to be. But what you're doing is like you're using your skills to like drop bridges and open up different areas. So it looks like a bit more exploration based than other Bayonetta games, and obviously not like the high paced action, because Bayonetta is just like a straight up action game. Really nice art style.
Yeah,
like the way it looks. Cool.
It's very fun.
Any other thoughts about Bayonetta?
Now, is the Cheshire Cat a thing with the Bayonetta games?
In Bayonetta 3, yes.
Okay, but not in the other two.
Right.
It just kind of shows up in 3.
Right, along with another character.
But this is an origin, and Cheshire's here.
Right.
I wouldn't worry. It's just absent from 1 and 2.
I wouldn't worry about it. Like, if you had experienced the narratives of any of the Bayonetta games, you would like those. Yeah, whatever, fine. Sure.
That's fair.
Those games don't make any goddamn sense.
That's fair.
We got the Splatoon 3 expansion.
This naked chick is fighting with her hair. Sure.
It looks to be clothed in this one, though.
Yes.
Yes.
Which is good, because
she's a kid, so she needs to be clothed.
Frankly, she looks a bit like a dork.
Maybe she is a dork. She wears glasses.
Yeah, there you go.
Hey.
So I don't really have any thoughts about the Splatoon 3 expansion. They showed some stuff that probably means more to people who really play this game. I don't like Splatoon 3.
I randomly got some Splatoon 3 OLED switches in the other day, which is very surprising.
I don't think we talked about that. We talked about the sales for the year. Splatoon 3 sold 10 million copies.
Oh, wow.
That's why it's in the A tier.
Bam! Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And in case you were wondering, Xenoblade 3, just shy of 2 million. It'll get there.
I'm proud of it.
Yeah. That's why it's in the B tier. Let's
see. Yeah, Ryan.
So there's an update for Splatoon 3. One's coming in the spring. The next is coming in the future, which technically they are both coming in the future. So kind of a weird way to phrase that, fellas. I'm just critiquing the structure of this
video. Well, they mean like in an unnamed future. Mm. And a non-specific future.
So like an alternate future?
No, I mean to say like, they're like, no, for sure we're doing this thing right now. And then at some point.
Someday.
Yes.
Yeah. What'd you guys think of that Disney Illusion Island game?
I skipped it.
Yeah.
Sorry, you know, I even want to talk about like the whole like snowy looking world in the expansion pass. I thought the side order... Don't you like that Salmon Run shit? They said they're bringing back Salmon Run.
I do like the Salmon Run stuff. Well, okay, so if we really want to get into the Splatoon thing.
Oh, dear God.
They showed a section of a hub world from Splatoon 1. And then, like, here's this hub world that you went to on the Wii U, which, you know, some people did, most people didn't. Here's a hub world that you went into, and you can do all the same things here that you can do in the current hub world. Like, all right, cool, I guess.
So why not you get to choose your hub world.
Yeah. And they mentioned, like, oh, you can do Salmon Run here now, which makes sense because you couldn't do Salmon Run in Splatoon 1. That was a feature added in Splatoon 2. And I do like Salmon Run. But, you know, there were just a lot of other games that came out, so I kind of fell out of that whole scene. But the thing you were talking about, like, the Dust Bowl, like, really, like, washed out looking area, I think that's part of the future update. Not really sure what that's about. Maybe if I played more Splatoon, I'd understand more of that, but I don't know. So... So no one's on board for Disney Illusion Island?
I don't care.
I don't particularly like the art style.
That's what I was just kind of thinking. I didn't know how to formulate the phrase. Just
I simply think the not art style looks fine.
It doesn't look bad. It just looks unenjoyable.
Mm.
You know.
Well, I think that the animations, like the characters moving around in the actual game, look kind of stiff and a bit choppy. That's something that, like, maybe they clean up by the time this game comes out on July 28th.
Also feels like you're zoomed very far out of the action.
Mm-hmm. You're zoomed quite far out. And actually, that reminds me of Rayman Legends and Rayman Origins, which are pretty good games on the Wii and the Wii U. And I think the Legends might have come out on Switch.
Mm. I believe so.
But the camera's very far zoomed out, probably to accommodate all four of the players in, like, big boss fights. But the level design, like, the aesthetic of the levels looks very much like a mobile game to me.
Mm.
I think probably should have gone in a different direction there. Because, I don't know, I'm sure it's got potential as a co-op platformer, but I don't know, it's got a lot going against it. We got some news about the Fire Emblem expansion, Wes.
Yeah.
Wave 2 is out today.
I really wish I could get into this game. I'm having a hard time.
It's really good.
It looks really good, but I can't... Like, I I made a new game in normal. I got back to chapter 5. And then my first attempt, I died. And went fucking A.
On normal mode?
I wasn't paying attention.
You casual.
I took it so, like, I don't give a fuck. And I just ran my person up. And
kindly leaf. There's the kindly leaf.
It wasn't good. Like, my main character just got caught in a weird spot. I was like, I did not think that would happen. And I just...
Oh, my goodness.
Just chapter 5 is being...
I'm embarrassed for you.
I am very embarrassed. I hate myself right now.
Oh, my goodness.
It's because of fucking chapter 5. I can't seem to get any momentum on this game.
I just finished chapter 23. I think I finally settled on my core group that I'm going to run the end game with. Some very good characters. Some characters not worth keeping around. But at least now I know. So, that this expansion is out... came out yesterday. Came out the same day as the Direct. If anyone was counting, it's about 2 weeks after the game release that now the second wave of DLC is out. Kind of seems like this was finished content, fellas.
Yeah.
Kind of seems like this game...
It's a dirty move.
Yeah.
I want Soren and Crom and Robin, but I don't want to reward them.
Soren's real cool. I like Soren. Yes. Makes me want a remake of Path of Radiance and Radiant Dawn even more.
I'm so mad.
Wave 2 has new emblem characters, Hector, Soren, and Camilla, new missions to unlock them. Wave 3 will have more emblems, including Crom, like you were saying. And then Wave 4, that's probably where I'll jump in. That's where you get like a new story segment. The Fel Xenolog is what they're calling it. So...
Well, that's only in, like, 2 months anyways. So.
Right. That's probably done already and could have just been in the fucking game. Harmony of the Fall of the Reverie is out in June.
Great name.
Yeah, really good name. I think this is, like, a game that's supposed to be from, like, the developer or the publisher or both of the Life is Strange series. I'm not sure what this game is supposed to be.
I watched a bit of it and I was like, I hadn't... confused and just skipped it.
There was very little gameplay and they kept showing like this skill tree. I don't know what the game is. They should have done a better job with that.
I think it's like nope, I can't even guess. I got nothing.
Okay. How's the Octopath 2 demo?
It's more Octopath.
Good.
It really is.
Perfect. That's what we need.
I've only really noticed one little difference in comparison to the first Octopath, and that's they introduced a gauge for like a character ability that you fill up from breaking enemy.
Oh, nice. That's how you fill it up?
Yeah, like breaking enemies it fills up and stuff. I think also if you take damage, I can't quite remember. But like I started the merchant because I really liked the merchant in the first game. I've wanted to go back and play with just starting as the merchant and just have a run where I just get tons of money. But the merchant here is just absolutely unbearable. It's like a cowboy, and they're starting up this little town with silver ore, and he like sells ore, but he does it through like people bidding. How much do you want to bid for this silver ore? Like, it's fucking silver. It should have like a straight exchange rate. It's like silver is this much.
Only if they have like a federalized government system that will set that currency exchange price.
So he sold like. He does a bidding thing for like silver ore and he sells it for like 1.8 million. I'm like, what's happening right now? Like, I don't even know.
1.8 million what?
Well, I mean, it leaves. Depends, they call it. Apparently, that's what the currency they were using was called leaves.
Well, wouldn't it depend on the purity of it? Like, if you're selling, you know, silver, you could put in less precious metals into it.
Like some aluminum or something.
Yeah, it's just straight silver ore.
Devalue it. Oh, no, you're the lipiderist.
Well done. Way to use it in a sentence.
Well done.
A little bit of that. This doesn't hold up to scrutiny.
Yeah, after a little bit of that and his dumb accent, I was like, screw it, I don't want to do this. And
was he like a prospector?
No, he was just some merchant and his like they built the town from nothing. And
how did he come by the ore?
They were just mining ore.
So he's a miner and a merchant.
Well, his father was. This is a back... flashback. So, like, you start with him as 8 years old, and then at 16 years old, and then current day is like
his father and his father comes up from a long line of miners.
Yeah, sure, whatever.
And mole people.
Yeah. But yeah, I stopped that, and I immediately just started to run in the Scholar, and that was more interesting. His wife and daughter was killed in a house fire, and he got blamed for it, and so imprisoned in this frigid island. And so it's like about him escaping from prison and going to find the man who killed his family and getting his revenge. I'm like, this is much more captivating than the weird guy selling ore. But yeah, it's the enemies are just damage sponges. They have so much HP. Like even just the run of the mill monsters that I fought, it took me a few turns to get through them even. They're just damage sponges. And like they have like very little respect for damage as well. Because like right out of the gate, I'm doing like 40-something damage. And then the first boss, I'm doing like 150 to 250 damage. I'm like level 1. This seems like a lot for level 1. I'm expecting like later in the game, it's like, you just did 5 million damage. I'm like, it means nothing to me. Like,
maybe you'll get to that point.
It's one of Ryan's complaints that's now stuck in my head. So they just throw big numbers at you for no reason. Like, yes. This means nothing to me.
Like, you could have 500 HP or you could have 50 HP, and the only difference is 500 looks bigger, still proportionally doing the same.
Like, I still haven't beat the first boss. I've lost to him twice because I'm, you know, trying to get back into the swing of Octopath. But it seems like he's got, like, I don't know, a couple thousand HP. I'm doing, like, 150 to 250 to him. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, this is going to take a minute. Like, these fights are so long.
It's tough, especially in the beginning. If Octopath Traveler came out, like, fucking 5 years ago. But my memory of that game is, like, it's tough getting going in the beginning because you have a very small party. Like, you just had your main and, like, a little acolyte that was following you around.
Yeah, some random NPC.
And you don't have a whole lot of access to just a lot of turns to break down the defenses and burn your BP to get your big attacks in. So most of the bosses are, you need to find like the pattern of the things that they are going to do, so you know when to shore up your defenses and you know when to burn all of your BP. Because that's what you're really looking for in most of these boss fights, is when is your opening going to be, just to spend everything and do as much damage as you can, and then pull back and start to build up all of your turns again. And I can't remember, I don't know if it works the way in this game. Can you like go into the negative BP?
No.
That's something that, I can't remember if you could do that in the original, but you could definitely do it in the Bravely Default series. Where you could go into the negative and like risk everything to finish off the fight, like a rando battle immediately. But then if you don't do it, then you have to wait like 4 turns.
I don't think you can do that in the original, because I don't remember that either.
Okay. But yeah.
But it's more Octopath. There's a lot of talking.
To me, the fun part about Octopath was always, okay, I'm in a new area. I'm going to scout out what enemies are here and then try to construct the party that is going to be optimized for getting through these fights as quickly as possible. Because if you're just like picking your favorites, but you don't have a good like diversity of skills, then you're not going to be able to exploit the defenses and break the shield and then do your big damage.
Yeah. The game really makes you use everybody.
Which is good. It's good. The full game is out on February the 24th.
Wow, that's soon?
Yep.
Wow.
We Love Katamari Reroll is out in June. Oh, Ryan, do you have any thoughts about Octopath?
No, I don't. There's a shark in it.
And there is a shark!
That looks really cool, though. I forgot about the shark.
That looks pretty intense.
Yeah. My hat is like a shark's fin.
Jeez, hey, come on. I'm sure El does not want that to be remembered.
But we will not forget.
I don't remember that.
We will not forget.
Deep Blue Sea?
Oh, right.
He did the closing credits song, My Hat is Like a Shark's Fin. It's a great tune. You gotta, we could just close the episode with it, please.
It's amazing. It's really, really good. We Love Katamari Reroll out on June 2nd. I have no thoughts.
I like this game. I probably will never play it again, but it is a fun game if you never played a Katamari game. I do recommend somebody playing it. People playing it at least once in their life. You gotta go through Katamari.
There is a delightful whimsy to it.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun when you just start soaking up solar systems and just rolling it around.
So,
the other day you were joking that we should do a thing where we make up games and then put them in real games and then guess if they were a made-up indie game or a real game.
this looks like that kind of made up indie game, you know?
Yep. There's a demo for Sea of Stars out now. I have not played it yet. I haven't downloaded it yet, but I think we'll be downloading it at some point.
I meant to download this one too, and I forgot.
It's a really nice looking game.
It does look good.
I don't think we got a release date at the Nintendo Direct. However, now the internet has done a thing where, Sony fan sites will then chime in about a Nintendo Direct. Like, here's stuff that was announced at Nintendo Direct that's also coming to PlayStation. And on one of those things, like, we did get confirmation from Sony that the game is coming out end of August-ish. And I can't imagine why this game wouldn't be launching simultaneously on all platforms. So I think it's pretty safe to assume that we'll see Sea of Stars in August. So I'll probably hold off on the demo until we get closer to then.
You guys aren't going to care about this, but I do find this really funny. The Hogwarts Legacy game.
Oh, sure.
So they did
is that out?
Yeah. As of today. But they did a early access release on the 7th, and then they did a pre-order release on the 8th, and then what's today, the 9th?
Yeah.
So today's the actual physical release for the PS5, and I think the Series X as well. The Xbox One and the PS4 release is in April, and the Switch release is July. So I think it's... I heard it's because they're trying to still work on it because it's not running as well on the older consoles, and the Switch is the Switch. And so they're like, I don't know how to do this.
How dare you, sir? How dare you?
No, the Switch, for what it is...
This is going to be like...
I love the Switch.
This is like when we look back on games like from the Retro Show where it's like they released it on the N64 but then also on the Game Boy, and it's like, it's a totally different game. So, Hogwarts Legacy, I'm sure, is going to be a completely different game.
It's going to be top-down pixel art. It might be a better game that way.
Essentially, because, I mean, if you see what The Witcher looks like on the Switch compared to, like, the new console, the other consoles, that's not new consoles.
And yet they managed to get Nier Automata going.
Yeah. And you say that looks fine.
It does.
Yeah.
I mean, here's the thing, though. Like, I have no idea what The Witcher looks like on the
other consoles. A lot better than that.
I actually think it looks pretty good.
He's coming in hot.
I am, because you were showing us this. I was watching this. Like, this is hurting my eyes. I can't.
I thought it looked pretty good,
honestly. De-resed. What is happening?
I mean, it was. I guess it was missing a few pixels, but I think
it looked
good to me.
It was way.
If you don't know the alternative, I guess
if you don't know the alternative, sure.
No, I played it for an hour and then got bored.
Yeah,
that's fine.
But yeah, so Hogwarts Legacy. I can't get
far in it. Yeah, I want to play this game.
But do it.
I don't have a PS5. Oh. So
you can play it on PS4 in a couple months.
I may buy one with my tax return.
Okay. So
here's the thing: we have Octopath coming out.
You always have a wand,
right?
Like, yeah. How it's in other games in which you like do stuff, they give you different kinds of weapons. Let's call them, and they look different, and they kind of. This is just like you're doing pew pews with some wands.
Or maybe like, you can ride your broom.
Do you get to like make potions and stuff?
Yeah.
Well, there's an item crafting thing.
There's a thing where he reaches his bag and pulls out the mandrake, the little baby flower thing, and it just screams enemies.
So
there's herbology.
Can you assemble a squad of your schoolmates, then take part in tactical RPG battles?
No. Not tactical RPG.
Zero out of 10.
It's mostly just spamming.
0 out of 10.
It looks good, and you get to be a wizard, Harry. I mean, come on. It's great.
Omega Strikers is out April 27th. Anybody care?
Nope.
It's an air hockey looking game.
Yeah.
Moving on. Etrian Odyssey Origin Collection out on June the 1st. It was a big surprise to see this series return. This was one that, it was a pretty niche game on the DS. I think it had a couple of 3DS entries.
This is like a metal, right? This is like a metal band's logo kind of name. This is really hard to read. Etria. What is this?
Etrian Odyssey.
Wow.
But like this is like a really crunchy dungeon crawling RPG. You construct a party of basically nobodies. You like give them names and character classes and take them through skill trees and stuff. And you just like have to enter this dungeon over and over again.
Oh yeah, I played a little bit of this. I borrowed yours and I hated it.
There's a map builder too?
Yeah. That was the hook. On the original DS, was on the top screen you had your action, on the bottom screen you had your map, and you'd use the touch screen to draw out like the walls of the path that you were taking, so you could, when you re-entered, you have a better idea of how to orient yourself. This one, in these remakes, it's a remake of a 1 through 3, and there, I think, are a total of 5 games, but they're redoing 1 through 3. This one has like an auto mapping function if you don't want to like use the, I think they're like showing using the shoulder buttons and one of the analog sticks to draw out your map, or you just have the game do it for you, which is probably the right thing to do. But I don't know, if you're into like these dungeon crawling RPGs, there's a ton of gameplay for this package. Like, these games are 40 or 50 hour games individually. You can get all 3 in one. Guys, guess what happens on April 21st?
What's up?
Advance Wars.
Ooh.
You guys. Oh, finally. Yes. I'm excited. Ryan, are you excited?
Oh, extremely excited. This is a great game.
I'm so pumped.
Mm-hmm.
Anything we need to say about this game?
That apparently the reason why it took so long is they had to make some anime cutscenes.
They did have to make those cutscenes. Really nice looking cutscenes.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe there'll be like some after every mission. They had to have been doing something, right? You think this game was like sitting in a can?
Ooh, maybe the end had Russia win, and they were like, maybe we can't really do that anymore.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, maybe now that Zelensky has retaken Crimea, they're like, okay, we can release the game now.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's true.
Is this getting a physical release?
Yes. Getting a physical release.
Mm-hmm.
$59.99, AAA game. Yeah, that's pretty big, but you are getting 2 games in one, I guess.
Maybe what you can do is, if you're Colin, you can reduce the price of the game before you buy it.
Oh, that's genius.
You know?
Yeah, yeah. Mm. Perfect. Kirby Return to Dreamland Deluxe is out February 24th. There's some new content. There's that Magalore quest thing. It's like 20 more new stages. You upgrade your character, which is a pretty neat idea. Kind of starts as like a basic little guy that just jumps and attacks, and you can upgrade things like your jump and your attack, and I assume other things. It's got full co-op, that mode. The game has tons of mini-games. They did not show them in the Direct, but there's some information about the game that came out previous that just listed all this dumb mini-game shit you can do if you want. And there is a demo that you can play.
I did download the demo.
Yeah?
Yeah. I haven't played it.
I'm getting this because Ripley really likes Kirby. So yeah. We'll play it together.
If Ripley was not a factor, would you be buying this game?
Probably not right away, because I did play it on Wii. And I liked it on Wii. It's a good game. But, you know, it's coming out the same day as Octopath, and then a little bit after that is Fatal Frame, and a little bit after that is Bayonetta, and a little bit after that is Advance Wars. So up next, guys, we've got some retro games added to the Switch Online services.
How about that?
For the standard Switch Online service, they added a bunch of Game Boy games. It's pretty great.
I didn't care about any of them.
You don't care about Tetris?
Nope.
They actually got like a little magnet, or like a sort of magnifying glass with a light that you can attach to the top of your Switch now to play the games.
Yep, it's perfect.
Really, really cool.
Authentic. It is cool if like, they have the different filters.
You can filter your Switch lasts half as long now because you have power the light.
That's a backlit screen. You don't need to have the light. You don't need the worm light.
Mine's not.
You don't have the backlit screen one?
I paid extra for the one that doesn't.
Oh. Yeah. Mario Land 2, 6 Golden Coins. Gargoyle's Quest. That's a pretty neat addition.
Yeah.
Game Watch Gallery 3, Alone in the Dark, for some reason.
I know. What was that about? That was cool. I didn't even know that existed.
I mean, it's one of those things where like you do a double take. Like, why are they doing this? But I kind of like that they are.
Mm-hmm.
Kirby's Dream Land, Metroid 2, Return of Samus, Link's Awakening DX, and Wario Land 3. So a few games like you would expect. You know, your Marios, your Zeldas, your Metroids. And
didn't
then
we just talk about Wario Land 3?
We
Isn't
did.
That the one with all of the really wonderful animations? And
yeah.
Like, each stage can be beaten 4 ways?
Yeah, we talked about Wario Land 3 a couple years back, and then we did Wario Land 4 more recently in the GBA.
Yeah, that's what it was.
But yeah, I think that's a weird, wacky series. Kind of like a unique take on a platformer.
Mm-hmm.
And all those games available immediately. And they did show like a little teaser flash screen about more games, like the Oracle games for Zelda. And then if you have the expansion pack, you get access to GBA games. Like WarioWare.
Exciting for what we do, that's right. Like,
sure.
We can now kind of affordably play these games.
Yep. And on hardware, there's a bit more appealing than the tiny GBA.
Oh, absolutely.
Some Mario Kart Super Circuit, some Mario & Luigi Superstar Saga, Super Mario Advance 4, Super Mario Brothers 3, plus the e-reader levels. We'll get into what those are when we get to that game on the retro show. The e-reader was a weird thing. And a game called Kuru Kuru Kururin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which, no idea what that is. But this is it's really cool. They put in some abstract stuff with, you know, what we'd think of as a heavy hitter. And they showed a bunch more games.
They put in some cheap and free content.
they actually showed a ton more games for that are coming for the GBA. But yeah, tons of potential here. Really cool that they've added in some more retro systems.
Yeah.
Up next, you guys, we're getting a Metroid Prime remaster.
Wow.
Oh, shit. And it's out now. They shadow dropped Metroid. Unbelievable. Holy shit.
They really feel bad about how long it's taken them to come up with the new Metroid game. They're doing everything they can.
Yeah, that's true. You can get it digitally now, but it's not out physically until February 22nd. Doesn't matter to me. I won't be playing this game until April anyway. Are you guys...
No, you're not. You're going to have Advance Wars in April.
Well, I'll be able to... I can play two games at once.
Are you sure?
Yes. I'm positive. Right now I'm playing Fire Emblem and Persona. And in April I'll be playing Metroid.
You play Persona bit by bit. Like, it's not like you're sitting there like diehard breaking it down like I did.
Yeah. And yeah. Right now I'm playing through June.
Are you trying to tell me?
Yes.
I'm telling you how I play this. Are you going day by day?
Are you trying to tell me like whether or not I'm playing two games at once now? Are you like spying on my...
I'll give you a hard time.
No, break it up, you two. Come on. Put the knives down.
This is why you can't get past level 5.
That would hurt. That was not cool, man.
I went through the jugular.
That was not cool.
Are you guys getting Metroid?
I'm about it. This looks like so much fun.
Yeah. Do you ever play Metroid Prime, Ryan?
I don't think so. I think you had a Metroid Prime that we played back in the day.
It's so good.
I remember enjoying this game, but then hitting a point where I go, I have no idea where the hell I am or what I'm supposed to do. I'm just going to move on to a different game because I got so lost in this game.
There is a point in the game where you're no longer like following objectives. Like you have all your power-ups, so there's not really like a new place that you like think you might be able to go. And if you are reading a lot of the logbooks, you'll probably understand what you're supposed to do next. But if you just kind of wander around for a while, after several minutes, the game will be like, hey, go over there and put a question mark marker on your map. Hopefully in this remaster version, they do a little bit sooner in case people get lost, or if, you know, they put the game down for a little bit and then go back to it and forgetting what they were supposed to do. But yeah, there's at a certain point in the game, you reach the area of the planet you're trying to get to, and then you realize, like, oh, wait, there's these other collectible things that I have to go get, and you have to go backtrack and find them. So, but, it doesn't feel like padding, because this game moves at a really brisk rate. Really, really good. Kind of funny that they just dropped this game, like, 2 weeks after Fire Emblem and 2 weeks before Kirby. Like, they've really packed the schedule here. It made me feel my age that they had to explain what this game was. Like, oh, it's first person, and you're running around this planet, and you scan things and shoot enemies. Like, yes, I fucking know what Metroid Prime is, but oh wait, there are people who are 18 now who were not born when this game came out.
Oh, that hurts.
Yeah.
Oh, that hurts.
There are people who are almost legally allowed to drink that were not born when this game came out.
Yeah, now it makes sense why I sucked at this game.
They did add a bunch of different control options, including dual analog as well as gyro controls.
Which is great.
Yeah.
They really need that dual analog is going to make it so much better.
I kind of like the original control scheme. But it's good that they have the options in there.
I forget how... What is it? You had to like hold a button to like aim, though. Like,
right. So
when you stop moving, you held the button down, and then you just kind of look.
Yeah, it worked weirdly similar to Resident Evil 4, where you didn't really you could move and shoot at the same time, but you were just shooting in front of you. You had to like stop to do like your free aiming. And only $40, fellas. $39.99 for this
not any bad.
Tremendous masterpiece of a game. Pretty neat that they can afford to sell some things at a lower price if they can.
I feel like you're...
Oh, I'm working up to it.
Yeah, you're leading into something here.
I am leading into something here. Because they make so much money. They make billions of dollars. I mean, billions of $2 billion in 3 months.
You don't get rich by giving your money away.
Mm.
That's a good point. They are a business, John.
Oh. Fucking hate you. Master Detective Archives Raincoat is out on June 30th. Another detective game. You guys in?
I can't remember if I had this one or not. I'm watching over Brian's shoulder again.
They did show this one in a previous Direct back in September. This one was announced. It looks all right.
It looks a lot like that game that we were just talking about earlier, where it was like a detective game, and there was like
the Deca whatever
looking thing.
It does look a lot like it,
but I'm not sure if that one, like this one, Master Detective Archives Raincoat, has things like turn-taking battles. I don't know if there's anything else other than the detective.
I think this is just a detective game.
Could be. Yeah. There is a point where they mention like you solve something, you get taken into like a dungeon layer or something, so maybe it becomes like a dungeon crawler or something. But I don't know.
No word yet about double jumping though.
Right, they did not say anything about double jumping. They did use a word to describe a mechanic where you were able to perceive things that happened in the past.
Post-cognition?
Post-cognition.
Yeah.
Which might be in the running for dumbest word.
Yeah. I can see that.
Why is that a dumb word? You got precognition and post-cognition?
But precognition is a way of describing like seeing
predict
something...
Predict the future versus understanding the past.
Right.
So what would the word be for understanding the past?
There is a word, and I don't...
Remembering? But in this situation, psychically remembering something that you were not a part of.
There is a word, and I'll have to look it up, and I'll tell you off air, that is a way of describing like being able to establish a psychic connection to the past and perceive things that happened in the past, even though you were not there to perceive them. It is a word that...
Just a seer can...
Similar to that.
Supposedly view those.
They use the word in X-Men comics because Rachel Summers is able to use this ability. And of course, it's a made-up word for comics, but we know this about words, that they're all made up. So, you guys, I'm really excited for this next one. Bat and Kaidos and Bat and Kaidos Origins, two games for the price of one.
Clairvoyant?
Coming out this summer. No, not Clairvoyant.
No, not Clairvoyant.
This is a really awesome announcement. I really like these games. I don't know why they're doing this. It's me.
I don't think
like,
they did that well. Right?
No, they didn't. These were GameCube card-based RPGs. These games did terribly. It's me and like 14 people who are excited for this. And I'm really excited. I never finished Origins, which was the second one in the series as a prequel. I'll be able to finish it now, and that'll be great. Why are you doing this?
I mean, I was interested in playing this way back in the day, but I never got around to it. So I'm interested in it. I don't know if I'll do it, play this or not, but I am interested.
Ryan, any thoughts on... Why?
The one RPG battle they showed you is you beating up a beached whale.
Oh, that whale deserves it.
Yeah, I'm sure.
I remember
fucking
this
one. Fucking slinging cards at it like it owes you money or something.
Yeah, it's... So just to give people an idea how what this card battle, how these things work. You, of course, build a deck. You collect cards out of the game, shops, or you can just find them in treasure chests and stuff as you would in an RPG. And all of these cards are your attacks or consumable items in a fight.
This is absurd. Like, you're building a deck here from, like, 480 cards.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And so...
That's a lot. That's a lot for a game to ask of you personally.
Yes.
To know the distinction between 480 cards to optimize a deck.
This game is a lot. And I really like it. There's a reason it did poorly, and it's not entirely because it was on the GameCube. There's a lot happening here. So all of your attack cards, and first of all, in the first game, Bat and Kaidos, every character, and there's fucking 7 of them, you have to build bespoke decks for each one, and each one has their own attack cards. So you might have a pool of cards of 400 for a character, and then another character has different cards and different decks. You can have different decks for different characters because cards will have elemental affinities, and you don't want to put your water cards with your fire cards because if you use them both in a simultaneous attack, they cancel each other out. You do no damage. So deck construction is very important, and there's a lot to work with. Not only are you having to pay attention to the types of attacks, elemental affinities, but there's also a numerical value on each card. The numerical value is not indicative of the card's power. The numerical value indicates which card you want to use next. So what you're trying to do in these battles is you are trying to create a run of cards. Like, I got a 2, and there's a 4, a 5, and a 6 right there. I need to play, and you're on a timer, I need to play these cards really quickly so I need to be able to scroll to the one that I want to get to. And that's going to, because I've built up to the larger number, I'm going to be able to do a more powerful attack. It's just about how many cards you have played in a row. And you can, once you get big enough decks and you're able to play big enough hands, you can like go up to an 8 and then start working your way back down if you have those cards available to you. Because you are dealt a hand right at the start of the fight. You don't get to choose. They're all randomized, right?
So you're drawing from a deck as you play the game.
You're drawing from your deck.
Let me ask you a question. I can already assume I know the answer. Do they give you a archetype build where you can just let the game auto-select cards? No.
Of course not. Maybe they... Maybe they will in this remaster.
I hope so.
Because I don't think that they did. I don't remember.
Yeah, I'm not touching this. With
so, get I'm Wes, it's...
I'm not touching this.
It's so this is the game. Good. They asked Timothy McVeigh what his favorite game was. Bat and
Kaido. He was playing in his jail cell. GameCube and tiny 14-inch CRT. No. It's so good because then, I swear, this is the last thing. Then we'll move on with our lives. The last thing, eventually you start getting cards, and cards will have the numerical value in the corner. You'll start getting cards that have numerical values in different corners. So you're able to build larger decks, but because there are multiple numbers, when you play the card, you're selecting the number by using the C stick to move in the direction of the corner of the number that you want to use. That's when you're able to put together really long runs because you have a bunch of cards with a number in each corner. You're increasing the likelihood that you're able to just pump out a bunch of cards all at once.
Yeah, this is a no for me. This is going to be a pass.
Origins simplified it. You're working from a deck and all the characters are drawing from that deck. And the largest numerical values are like 5s and 6s. And Origins is also really good. There's a lot less to manage. And there's only 3 characters.
So back to your question about why are they doing this?
Why are they doing this?
And we can't get Path of Radiance or Radiant Dawn remasters?
Why this? Like, Fire Emblem is hot right now. Like, it's actually a recognizable franchise for once.
We got Ike and Soren and, what's her name?
Micaiah.
Yeah, Micaiah. She was from Radiant, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yep. I mean, come on. Give me these games. I want these games.
I'm going to be buying...
I would love to play through these games again.
Maybe if fantastic. We buy 8 copies of Bat and Kaidos, they'll give us Path of Radiance. Probably not, though. I'm going to buy a copy, though. I'm excited. Fantasy Life I is out in 2023. That's a second level 5 game. They're making 2 games, fellas. Isn't that crazy?
That is pretty well.
Looks like a Animal Crossing with combat.
There was a game, Fantasy Life, no I, on the 3DS. And I played that one. It was fine. It's kind of a, it's an action RPG. And, like, everything you're doing is, like, class-based. So you take, like, really mundane classes. Like, you can be a warrior or, like, an archer. But you can also be, like, a chef or a tailor. And you do quests, grind up materials, upgrade your town. It's fine. I'm not going to buy it, though.
Part of me thinks it would be funny if there was, like, an expansion to, like Animal Crossing, where just like a giant golem shows up to the island and just starts destroying everything.
That'd be good.
Just smashing and breaking everything you have on your island and the way that it's...
But don't you like town building, John?
I do like town building.
Yeah.
I didn't like it enough in Fantasy Life to want to do it more.
Yeah.
And a third level 5 game. Holy shit, you guys. It's like this company wants to make some money.
What does level 5 typically make? Like, how would I recognize level 5?
Funny you should ask, Wes. Because they're making a new Professor Layton.
Okay.
They also made Ni No Kuni.
Okay.
And they helped development of like Dragon Quest VIII and I think Dragon Quest X.
Got it. Now I know what kind of games these guys make.
Inazuma 11. You remember that, what was the name of the game? It was like a Pokemon ripoff on the 3DS. There was a short-lived animated series. I thought it was going to be like the next hot thing. And then nobody...
Koromon or something?
Not Koromon. They're like Japanese spirit monsters.
Oh.
What was the name of that thing?
What was it called?
I don't remember. I briefly...
Yokai?
Yokai Watch.
Yeah, that's Yokai Watch.
And they thought it was going to be the next big thing. They had merch and toys and an animated series and like manga and shit. And then
I saw 10 minutes of an episode once because my nephew was watching it. I'm like, this is the dumbest thing.
It caught on in Japan for a bit, but it never...
That would be something that they would.
But then like after a while, nobody gave a shit anymore. And then nobody ever gave a shit here. So, but Professor Layton though, we didn't get a release window for that one, just TBA. It is a good announcement. I like these games. You guys interested in Professor Layton at all?
No.
We're happy that you're happy.
Well, thanks. We got some more Mario Kart levels in Wave 4 coming out this spring.
Cool.
A new Yoshi course. It's pretty
good
neat.
For them.
Yeah, pretty cool. And then we got that there Zelda game on May the 12th. You guys? You guys going to play that one?
I think so.
Yeah, Zelda get game? That one Which one? Huh?
Tears of the Kingdom, I think.
Oh,
it's called.
Right. May?
Yeah. I didn't
even fucking notice that they gave a release date. Dear God.
They gave a release date back in September.
Oh, I didn't even know that.
Is it May 12th, I think?
Yeah.
This is tells you how much I pay attention. I thought it would be like a Christmas release, like November or something.
Nope. Here we go.
I didn't really even react to it because I'm just like, I'm getting the game and I'm gonna love it and I don't really care. Like, it's gonna be fantastic. What do I need to see clips of it for? I'll play the game, and then I'll see those clips when I'm playing the game.
It's true.
That's cool. What are you telling me? I'm fucking Link again? Great. Let's do it.
I'm of the opinion, like, I'm of a similar opinion. I don't really need to know much more about this game, if anything. I would just go on to, like, radio silence about this game until it comes out, because...
Right.
Like, there are people who want to know things, like, if there will be dungeons, if weapons will be breakable, and... All this sort of thing, but for me personally, like, yeah, more Breath of the Wild with new places to go. Sure, let's do it. I'm in.
I mean, it's like when you were told, okay, the movie Oppenheimer is coming out, and it's going to be made by Christopher Nolan, and the main character is Cillian Murphy. Do you need a trailer?
I do not.
I will enjoy this movie.
Yeah.
Right? It's like, cool. I'm down. I'm excited.
That sounds like something I'm going to watch.
let's just fucking go with this thing.
Hang on.
So what are the
movie trailers in particular show too much? Anyway, you were saying.
Oh, I do agree. I think that it should be a law that a movie should not be allowed to show anything past the 30-minute mark of a film.
Mm.
I just don't think that's good.
I really agree with that. That is a very good point.
You know, as long as that doesn't change the way that people start filming movies. Like, you know what fucking killed me? What was that movie that came out? It was Uncharted. You know, and I enjoyed Uncharted. I know some people were like, oh, it's unfaithful to the game. It's like, it's fine.
Oh, I don't care if it's faithful or not. I was like, eh, it's all right.
But, like, there is a trailer moment in it that is, like, a post-credits bump.
Yep.
And I'm like, fuck are you doing?
Like, isn't that the thing with, like, action movies now? Is everyone likes to have, like, their post-credit joke scenes?
Yeah.
And, like, you just showed it in the trailer. What are you doing? We'll cut this.
I think it was the trailer for Castaway 2, where it literally in the trailer is that final scene of the film where he's walking away from the house.
At the crossroads? Yeah.
Why? Why would you do that?
So now we know he gets off the island. Cool. I mean, we probably could have guessed that anyway.
You know? I mean, it's like if you saw Crank 2 starring Jason Statham, it's like, oh, I guess he lived. I get it, but at the same time, you know, they shouldn't spoil everything.
Anything about the scissor reel?
Wait, were you like Castaway the numeric 2 or like Castaway T-O-O, like Castaway also?
Castaway also. There is no Castaway 2.
Yeah, that's what I was presuming.
Oh, that would be sweet if there was, but no.
Castaway 2 recasting.
How bad is this guy's luck with flights?
No, he was on a train, and now he's stuck in the desert.
Wilson's Revenge.
Oh, that would be nice.
Yeah, he washed up on shore when he's at the beach. I'm like, where are the odds? Like,
just you see him like roll up, and like there's a cleaver next to him.
No, but yeah, I mean, we did watch it, though. Like, What do you think of the actual clips they show us?
There's a flying machine. There's a, like a lot of like floating islands in the sky. That should be really fun.
Yeah.
There's a car for some reason.
There's a car? I didn't know it was the car.
Yeah, yeah. He's just like driving around in a car that looks like it was like put together with just random shit that he found on the ground. But
I wonder if there's going to be like extended sequences of this blood moon, because they do the blood moon thing. And when I saw it, I was like, oh yeah, that was a mechanic in Breath of the Wild, where it was like everything resets on the blood moon. I mean, there's interesting stuff that can be done there if it's like a...
Wouldn't that be some shit if that's the conceit of the game? Like, hey, you beat up Blight Ganon and there's a blood moon and now he's just back because he's just going to respawn at the blood moon.
No, I my immediate thought, because now I remember this bit from the trailer, because they were focusing more on the blood moon mechanic and making it more of a thing. I immediately went back to Majora's Mask. I'm like, oh, are we fighting the moon again?
We got to beat up the moon. Here it comes.
It's time for me to fight the moon. Because you're going up into the sky and shit. Like, at some point, am I going into space? Am I going to punch the moon? Like, come on.
You know, they show him, like, flying around in a little, like, hovercraft.
Yeah.
They show him driving around in a car. Who's to say he's not going to build a rocket ship and launch himself to the moon?
Let's fight the moon again.
They did it in Mario Odyssey.
It's going to turn around and there's another fucking face.
Oh, I mean, shit. That's horrifying.
Come on, let's fight the moon again,
the face of the Happy Mask Salesman.
Oh, gosh. He stopped the moon and the Happy Mask takes its place.
Ooh, creepy. I don't mind if the weapons break.
Yeah.
Works for me. I don't know if they're going to have them like start out with the Master Sword or they're going to come up with some sort of conceit to take it away.
Like, reset his power level or whatever.
Yeah. Because it is a sequel. So there's got to be some sort of setup as to why.
There's the car.
Maybe that's why his arm is all like gross. Maybe he can't wield the Master Sword anymore. Yeah, I'm pumped. This is going to be really good. They showed a lot of geography that we had seen before. Hopefully they either expand it a bit or there's some sort of like big enough changes to it to where it's not just totally retreading the same territory in a literal sense. But you know, there's always the sky islands too. There'll probably be some substantial size up there. Think they'll do shrines again?
I don't know.
I'm sure they do. I mean, that was a big thing.
They come up with some sort of thing.
Why you gotta roam around the world if not for shrines? I mean...
Gotta find some new swords, man.
Yeah. Gotta replace the ones that just broke.
Yep. Got some rusted-ass swords.
I swung this one 3 times and it broke. Anything about the sizzle reel you want to talk about? Anything catch your eye?
Not particularly. I mean, they showed...
Have a Nice Death looks interesting.
It does.
That's another roguelite, though, I think, so...
Yeah. Yeah, and that's one that they announced at a previous director's, kind of reminding us that it existed. They did not show Fatal Frame, and I'm offended. I'm offended that they showed every other game that they're releasing in the next 4 months.
They didn't show Dokapon Kingdom, and I'm offended.
It's true, they did not. It was a big misstep on their part. Do we have a release date for that?
I don't know. I mean, I still feel like it's a rumor and not an actual thing.
It doesn't feel real yet?
Yeah, it doesn't feel real until... I don't think it's actually happening until I see a release date.
It's a pretty packed next few months. There's got a lot of games coming out.
I mean, there's prices on GameStop and Amazon for the thing.
Oh, thank you for reminding me. Oh, this Zelda game.
You shouldn't have said shit, man.
$69.99, huh?
Oh, shit.
$69.99 for Tears of the Kingdom, eh? Is that how it's going to be? Okay. See how it is. See how it is, fellas. You know, you made... $2 billion in profit in your third quarter.
Is that $10 really gonna?
Well, the $10
big deal.
No, it won't be a big deal to me. It won't be.
No,
a big...
I mean in general. Like, why did they have to?
I mean, right. I don't think the $10 is gonna be that big a deal to them either.
Because they did the calculation and found out that it would drive away less than 1/6 of the buyers. We're like, yep. Okay, we make more money.
Yep, this 1/6 of a buyer. Like,
they did the math and realized, like, hey, this is. This is worth it for the bottom line.
Yeah, if I have that math correctly, what it would mean that if they were to charge $70,
oh shit,
and more than 1 out of 6 people were to say I don't want to buy this game, they then would make less money in the long run. I'm sure they did the calculation and found out like only 5% of consumers that would have bought the game care enough about the $10 increase to say no, I won't buy the game.
I'm gonna put on my conspiracy theory hat in a second here. Wes, you have something to say?
Supposedly Amazon is saying the game Dokapon Kingdom Connect is going to be $49.99 and it will be released on June 30th.
No, we'll see
what Amazon says.
Okay,
so we'll see if that happens. I would really like it to be.
So I'm going to put on my conspiracy theory hat for a second here.
Do it. Because, I have a conspiracy theory too. Go ahead.
Because if that $10 was really all that important to them, they could just charge $49.99 for Metroid. Now, maybe they wouldn't. They're not going to sell as many copies of Metroid as they would for Breath of the Wild or Tears of the Kingdom. But, you know, you're releasing some games at budget price and releasing other games at a even more premium price. So I think, here's my conspiracy theory hat on. There is a thing called the Entertainment Software Agency, and it's just kind of a conglomeration of a bunch of lawyers and people that represent different software publishers. Nintendo, Sony, Microsoft, Capcom, EA, Bethesda, all the big publishers have a representation in the Entertainment Software Agency. This agency exists to lobby on behalf of the game industry as a whole. And kind of proclaims itself to be like this is like a self-policing agency. It's like, don't legislate to regulate games. We're the Entertainment Software Agency. We'll handle this. And they've thrown up smoke screens about things like loot boxes and things that would be considered less than ethical in order to try to keep legislation out of the scummy practices that they do. The ESA really want, and some publishers really want, the new premium price for games to be $69.99. They want to have a price hike. They want to do this, and they will cry poor anytime their $60 game doesn't sell well. Like, oh, games cost so much more to make now. We have to raise the price, even though this is the biggest entertainment industry in the world. Billions of dollars are made. My conspiracy is that the Entertainment Software Agency, of which Nintendo is a part, really wants to get everyone on board with selling these games for $69.99. And if they can get Nintendo to do it, it just further normalizes things because they're one of the biggest video game publishers in the world. Nintendo has made a statement that, you know, the price of games will not necessarily be $69.99. regularly from now on. It's going to be a game-by-game basis. That's code for, yeah, at some point they will be $69.99. You know, the game industry is not immune to inflation. It has been several years since there was a price increase of games. The dollar now is not worth what it was 10 years ago. I get it. Still feels kind of shitty, though, because you made $2 billion in 3 months. Feels a little shitty. Do you guys have any thoughts?
So, the reason why we don't go back to the moon anymore is because when we sent the first men to the moon, we had no way to get them back to Earth.
Mm, makes sense.
And if we were to go now, we would just see the rotting corpses of men that we have been claiming came back and are being currently impersonated by people that went to the moon.
And who wants to see that? No one wants to see that. No one wants to see the rotting corpses.
So the moon landing wasn't fake.
Well, they're not going to be rotting.
The moon landing was real. It did happen. The return part was the fake.
Right, right. So they just crashed the ship into the moon.
That's my...
Yeah, yeah.
That's my conspiracy theory.
That holds up to scrutiny.
And this seems like a very cloak and dagger group you're talking about here that controls all of video games.
I was about to say, what is this, the Illuminati? What the fuck?
The ESA is a real thing. They're the group that also puts on
E3. But why didn't they
meet in robes and hoods?
But why didn't they say, like, I would think, like, that new God of War game probably cost a lot more money to make than the new Zelda game. I speculate not knowing, so ignore that thought. Why wouldn't they say that Ragnarok should be the $70 game?
Was it $70?
It was. PS5 games for $69.
Yeah.
Oh. So then, what the Switch is doing is catching up with current trends in gaming.
Yeah. I think it's really a matter of Nintendo going, well, PlayStation and Xbox can do this. Why can't we?
I think that the implication...
I think it really just comes down to that.
I think the implication there is that Nintendo pays attention to what PlayStation and Xbox are doing. They don't. They don't give a fuck. They exist in their own weird little world.
Mm-hmm. But except when it comes to money, because it's a business. And they go, oh, we can charge $69 for games now? Cool, let's start doing that.
No, I think you're reading way too much into what
you... reading too much into this? This fucking background organization of the collection of the people
he's got
the
a point.
Game systems. I'm reading too
much into it. Have you guys, like, not heard of the ESA? It's been around forever.
Yeah.
They're the group that puts on E3.
Yeah, but you made it sound like they're sacrificing goats at each of their meetings.
They're
like,
extracting adrenochrome.
For all we know, they are. We don't know who these people are. They're not regulated.
No, I mean, really, I am not aware of the Entertainment Software Association.
Yep.
But it sounds like they're, yeah, again, this is a very
it's a lobbying
covert operation.
It's a lobbying group. And what are lobbying groups other than operations to try to advance their cause while keeping government out of it?
There was a reference of Futurama I wanted to make with the robots with the hoods and Bender and Fry, but I can't quite get it.
So who's worse for their respective industry, the ESA or the Baseball Players Association?
Oh, the ESA.
Yeah.
100%. Because the Baseball Players Association at least advocates on behalf of the product. Like the players are the product.
Mm-hmm.
The ESA advocates on behalf of game publishers, not necessarily people who make the games.
Not the developers, but the publishers.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Or even the like programmers and designers.
Mm-hmm.
See, they're holding this plate and they need to go into another room.
You're not doing this again.
It's the last time I referenced.
Mm-hmm.
And then they drop it.
So I guess John's saying he's boycotting games?
Yep.
This is no, of course not.
John's going to just take up
It's okay. We'll tell you how it is. We'll tell you the Tears of the Kingdom. I mean, we'll get copies.
If John were to just give up on video games, period, and never touch one again... What do you think he would do with all his time? Is it just comics?
He would read comics.
I feel like he would take up some kind of weird hobby, like ships in a bottle or...
Oh, bonsai trees.
Oh, bonsai trees? He'll have a Zen garden outside the side of the house here?
That could be.
I don't know. I'm on board.
He would just read more comics. That's really all it is.
A what?
Mm-hmm.
And the Zen garden. And like maybe go like to flea markets.
Yeah.
waste time at a flea market.
What do you think needs to happen in order for John to get really into Renaissance fairs?
Oh, I don't think much. I think they just don't happen anywhere around here.
What I need to happen to get into Renaissance fairs is I need there to be a solar flare that takes all of humanity back to the Bronze Age. And then, sure, Renaissance fairs.
Jeez.
Anything else we need to discuss here? It was a good direct. It's a good show.
That's nice.
Yeah.
I'm very positive on this one.
Give it a grade, Wes.
Oof. I mean, I'm really bad at these graves. I don't know. Graves? I didn't say great. I said really graves. Terrible. Oh, my God.
The corpses keep rising to the top.
I don't know what to do with all these things. I give it a B. I liked it.
B.
That was good.
Really, Ron?
How's about I give it a year-end review?
Ooh.
And say that it exceeds expectations?
Okay.
Yeah. It's getting a 3% pay bump. We only have so much to allocate, guys. I think.
No, it's fine. Tears of the Kingdom is 69. We got more to play with.
It's 2.5% pay bump. You know.
So let's say
you just went down.
Well, I mean, you're right.
So we're making more points, so you go down in the pay bump.
This is why you're our union representative.
Hey, not everybody can exceed expectations. So, you know.
So quick math here. So Tears of the Kingdom is $70 now. They sell 20 million copies over the course of the game's lifetime.
Yeah.
How much more have they made because of that $10?
You said 20 million? So 20 million times 10, $200 million.
They made $200 million. Extra.
Assuming that they don't lose any sales because of the price hike. Again, there probably is a very slim percentage of people who will say, no, that was a deal breaker.
Well, we are also assuming that it's selling less than Breath of the Wild. Breath of the Wild has sold 25 million. I think 20 million is probably a pretty safe number. Okay.
It's definitely going over 20.
Oh, you think so?
If Breath of the Wild did 25, I mean, people know about this game. People are going to be pumped. I mean, it's
fucking dumb. I do wonder, is the Switch getting long in the tooth? Are people kind of moving away from the Switch?
Fine with it. I'm fine with how long this Switch has lasted. Give me another 6 years with this system. This system's great.
I think that it's hardware that definitely shows its age. Also, Wes's snide comments about Witcher 3.
Which is fine. I don't play Switch and Nintendo systems for Witcher. That's what my PlayStation is for. I played for the Zeldas.
Never heard of it.
And I played for the Zeldas and the Fire Emblems and the Pokemons.
What is this PlayStation you're talking about?
The Switch does what it's supposed to do. These games look great. They run great. They are great. PlayStation is for different games. That's for my Horizon Zero Dawn. Again.
What is a PlayStation? I don't know.
My Witchers, my Hogwarts Legacy. That doesn't need to be on Switch. That's stupid. Switch doesn't need to touch these games. I mean, the fact that it even has Skyrim is ridiculous to me. There's no reason why Skyrim should be on the fucking Switch.
Well, these are some really elitist comments. I'm uncomfortable. wait, what were we talking about? Oh yeah, is the Switch long? Is the Switch long in the tooth? Maybe, but it's not like there is a lack of hardware. It's not suffering for games because it's old.
Yeah, it's still selling. How many systems sold this year? Yeah, they're
like 18 million is their projection at this point. This is impressive.
Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah, I mean, you just hate for it to come too soon. You hate for it to just the tide turns and then suddenly it's realized that people don't care about the Switch anymore and they're not equipped and prepared for the transition. That's really what I'm getting at when I say this. I think that you're right. Sales are still really good. They're tapering off a little bit.
Yep.
But you just don't want to see it come where they're having like a 5% drop to now being a 40% drop and we're like, oh shit.
I always have that fear when a new system comes out and be like, well, what happens if my Switch breaks and I never can play these amazing games again? And so, like, every single time a new system's about to come out, I'm like, should I just buy another Switch so I have a backup? Like, it's... if it's not backwards compatible? Like I don't want to say goodbye to these games.
Yeah, definitely worth it. Definitely do that.
There's no way I'm buying another Switch as a backup. But I'm just saying, that's not much... Because, I mean, I would love to play Path of Radiance and Radiant Dawn, but I don't really have those working systems anymore, so I can't.
Mm.
Hence why they need to remaster and bring them back.
True. Remaster every game and just have every game on every system going forward.
I mean, come on. It's not that much work, guys. Video games are easy.
Just, like, change the file to .wtch or whatever the Switch file is named.
And you're
good. Click and drag.
Yeah, that's it.
My only concern about the Switch hardware and transitioning to the next system now is... If they have the lineup of games that's going to be available for the next system, because if you look at the Switch launch and they had the advantage they had going into a Switch launch is that the Wii was such a terrible failure, they were able to focus development entirely on Switch for quite some time leading into it. Do we see another launch year with a Zelda and a Mario and Splatoon and a game like a
Zelda. Animal Crossing.
Animal Crossing was in 2020.
Well, I'm just saying that if they were saying, you know, what do you think should happen for a launch? Like, what's a good launch title? Something to have within 6 months of the release of this new console. Animal Crossing was such a cultural phenomenon that I think that would be a really good.
It would be
I feel like it's too soon though. Like, if they were to like release a Switch next year, I think that's way too soon for another Animal Crossing.
Maybe. I agree, but I also don't think it's going to be next year. I think it'll be 2 or 3 years from now.
Yeah, at least.
Oof, that's a long time. I'm on board.
That's why I'm worried, because we're not hearing anything. We're not hearing a peep about them developing anything new.
I love my Switch. I don't want it to go away. I don't want to say goodbye to my Switch.
You don't have to bury it the second another console comes out. Like, I'm going to be playing my Switch for like a fucking decade. I got a wish list on the eShop that's a fucking 140 games long.
I'm just imagining Wes has like a Viking funeral for his Switch. It's a little boat.
If it went to break, I'd be inviting you both to my Viking funeral if this Switch was to die on me.
I'm in.
Yeah. I totally would do it for the
guy. Doesn't matter when. It could be...
I love this thing.
The Mika could be having her elementary school graduation. I will skip it to help you. Viking funeral, your Switch.
See, now we're fucking doing this.
Next up's the Retro Show. It's going to be a good one. My goodness.
The content won't be good, but yes, it will be good.
This is going to be an amazing show. This is going to be something.
Did you guys watch Rain of Fire?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
I did watch Rain of Fire. Oh, wow.
I will next week. I will watch Rain of Fire.
The crazy, and I think we might have mentioned this last week, the craziest thing about Rain of Fire is I have watched several movies that came out in February of 2022. it might be the best movie that came out that month.
Ouch.
And yeah, the lineup is terrible. It's going to be so good.
It's rough. I just finished Collateral Damage. I had to watch it in two parts.
Oh, no.
Which one was Collateral Damage?
It's a Schwarzenegger film. Oh, my God.
No.
It's terrible. Oh.
I watched Queen of the Damned last week.
Oh,
I
know that.
Oh my goodness. And, but that's one I will say, you really can't look away. Like,
yeah.
I couldn't stop watching. It is... It is
a kaleidoscope of awful. It's just everywhere.
Well, there's some music too. I started listening to that one album.
Oh yeah, that was a real barn burner, I tell you.
How long is the music segment going to be this month?
I won't say all that much about the stuff. Maybe pencil me in for like 55 minutes.
I'm on board.
No, I'll keep it brisk. A lot of these, I'll say a quick thing about and move on. There's only a couple of really interesting things, frankly, that I think were really worth getting into and talking about. And if you listen to that Immortal record, you should listen to it too. Sons of Northern Darkness.
Yes, that's the one I was talking about.
By Immortal. It is a very aggressive, fun album that I think it would be cool if you guys listen to.
What kind of music is it?
It is Norwegian black metal. Look at the cover. I'll show you the cover art off here.
I always get thrown off when I hear Norwegian black metal. That's just, that, just the name of it is just incredibly aggressive and angry. God.
It's delightful.
I feel like you just murdered a bunch of puppies, just the name alone. You're like, ow!
And there's also video games. There's a bunch of video games that are worth talking about. It's going to be a good show. Oh, and what we'll do is we'll finally start doing our GameCube rankings, like we were doing for N64 games, but then lost interest. We'll try to get it going again with the GameCube.
It's not like we lost interest. It got to a point where like, how do I keep up with this?
we also lost interest. Like,
that too.
The quality of games. When we got to a certain point with the N64, the quality of the games was precipitously diving, and it just got less and less interesting to try to put them in a ranking. But that's it. That's the end.
So long.
Later, Gator.